live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I don't know why, but whenever I read this thing on CNN that we're engaging in Operation Iron Hammer, it makes me think of Agnes Moorhead in, like, thigh-high, like, SS boots or something. That's just me.
Well, they could call Operation Sears Craftsman Tools.
Operation Makita. All right, it's 2 minutes and 42 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of, November. In the year of our Lord, 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studio at the Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
It's almost to a perky day.
No, it's not. We got, like, weeks, don't we?
I think we only get a couple.
What day is Thanksgiving? Today, Thanksgiving's what, the 27th?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
Yep.
All right. Start stocking up on corn.
All right.
Coming up later on this hour, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be, because apparently God is Californians need to repent, and they need to come to the light of Jesus, and then God will quit killing people there. As long as you continue to wallow in sin, God will continue to send the fiery hellstorm of Mother Nature to destroy everything. Apparently there's just some massive hailstorm and lightning that I think started a bunch of new fires down there, so it's a bad day to be in California. We'll talk to Jim Roop about that later on. And I know he's going to the Schwarzenegger thing, too. That's the other thing. He's going to the inauguration, which I guess it's Monday night. So I know Roop is going to be at the inauguration, so we're going to bring that up as well. Coming up later on today, there was this whole thing that happened yesterday. Now, it just started as a small little glitch, but then it snowballed into this colossal comedy of errors. It just became this huge, swirling mud pit of inaccuracy and humiliation for the show. And by the show, I mean for me. And so, really what happened is that some guy named James in Los Angeles was typing up the e-news feed, mistyped something, misprinted something, got something wrong, mixed up a date, transposed a 3 with a 9 or something. And so we were reporting all day yesterday, and by we, I mean me, reporting
you was better.
That Ashton Kutcher was 30 years old. Now, people say to me, well, you should know that Ashton Kutcher's not 30 years old, but that sort of presupposes that I have a lot of knowledge of Ashton Kutcher, which I'm here to tell you quite proudly and firmly, I do not. That's not a thing I possess. Pop culture maven or not, I don't know from Ashton.
Nor did this report
Ashton anyway, and nobody caught it. So, I mean, there's no one, not one of either the 700 people that saw the top 5 list before we did it caught it. So we went all day yesterday reporting that it was Ashton Kutcher's 30th birthday, and that's what yesterday's top 5 was. We did the top 5 songs from the date of Ashton Kutcher's supposed birth. And then it turns out that not only was he not born on November 11th, 1973, he was actually not born in 1973 at all, nor 74, nor 75. Nor 76, nor to 77. He was actually born in 1978, but then it gets worse. I then come in this morning, I'm reading my email, and there are not one, not two, but probably 500 emails from people telling me that not only was it not Ashton Kutcher's 30th birthday yesterday, it was, in fact, wait for it, Tanya Harding's 30th birthday yesterday. How could I not have known that? I, of all people, of all men who sit behind the microphone, how could I have not known it was Tanya Harding's 30th birthday? And so it just became this ongoing saga of shame and degradation yesterday. It's a whole thing. So anyway, so the bottom line is...
I'm shocked. No, yeah. Tanya, all Ashton.
I'm just saying. So the bottom line is today we're going to do what we've long talked about doing. We've long threatened it. Today we're going to do the top 5 mistakes ever made on the top 5 list. That's coming up later on today. Top 5 mistakes ever made on the Rick Emerson Show's top 5 list. That's coming up later on today. We'll also have another exciting edition of How Chicks Think, and later on your phone calls, etc. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. And if I've just made mistakes in something I just said, if it's Tani's like 31st birthday, 33rd birthday, whatever, I don't want to, just don't, you know, we're just going to move forward from this point on. We're just going to move forward. We're going to pretend that this entire debacle didn't happen. We're going to go forward from now. We're going to make a clean slate. We're turning over a new leaf as of now. Tabula rasa from this day on, okay? It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk tonight at KOTK.
Gangsta.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turned off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic through Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think? Yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
He's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
Just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A forensic artist has been called in to help detectives looking for that missing 16-year-old girl. The artist had been asked to sketch a man last seen leaving the Malala Public Library with Cynthia Lamb 2 weeks ago. Police of Malala have no solid leads in the case right now and no suspects. But four additional detectives from Clackamas County are joining the case, two more expected. Police are sorting through 40,000 lines of text. How do they do that? As she typed during part of her internet chat conversations, she had chatted online with numerous men in their 20s. There have been plenty of sightings of the missing girl so far.
State, Central Oregon, Oregon Coast, the Vancouver area, Portland metro area. We're asking for assistance with the agencies in the local areas where those tips are coming from.
She was last seen wearing tan jeans, a black sleeveless shirt, and embroidered with Tokyo on it. Maybe that's where she is, and a zip-up sweatshirt.
All right, this is the girl. I've got to keep all these girls straight. We need a scorecard.
This is the missing Malala girl.
Okay, so this is the... Okay, this is the girl.
Chat girl.
Okay, she was in a library.
Yeah,
like they even have libraries in Malala. Malala's got like there's like three buildings there. One of which is like a feed store that's empty. So apparently the big town library in the bustling metropolis of Malala. Like they even have phone lines out there so you can get on the internet. So she was there and she wandered off with some guy.
Apparently, so.
And she's how old?
She's like 16.
All right.
So there. Other big story today: Alabama's judge. Well, he used to be one. Roy Moore has been dethroned by the feds with the Ten Commandments controversy. He got a good tongue-lashing this morning.
In defying that court's order, the Chief Justice placed himself above the law. To quote the Supreme Court of the United States, "No man in this country is so high that he is above the law. All the officers of the government, from the highest to the lowest, are creatures of the law, and are bound to obey it."
That's just liberal sissy talk is what that is.
The Yankees coming down here telling us what to do.
I don't need them coming the carpetbaggers trying to tell us this didn't actually go. I've already blocked all this out of my memory because it's the same bunch of yammering white pinheads that, you know, there's always protesting, chaining themselves to things in the South. This didn't go to the actual Supreme Court, though, did it?
No.
Okay, because was it that they wouldn't hear it?
Right, they didn't want to hear it.
They didn't want to hear it. And so this guy, did you see him being interviewed by Miles O'Brien today?
Miles O'Brien was almost apologetic. Oh, thank you, sir.
I mean, Miles O'Brien did everything but just get on his knees and just please the guy right there on television. It was just, he was being so obsequious.
Maybe the numbers are lower in whatever state he's from, Alabama. They wanted to.
I think CNN. I think they're just so terrified of looking liberal. Which I mean, you know, and I've never really. I'm not going to bog down in a whole discussion of the liberal media or anything. I mean, I've never really noticed CNN to have any like liberal or leftist leanings. I didn't say they don't. I'm just saying I've never really noticed it in spades. But maybe they're just so terrified of doing anything that's going to alienate the conservative viewers that they're trying to steal from Fox. Because Miles O'Brien was talking to the guy, and it was like he was talking to some sort of Peruvian freedom fighter, as opposed to a guy who's been disbarred for violating the Constitution of the United States, you know, repeatedly. But Miles O'Brien, his parting words to the guy, well, you know, good luck, Judge. We hope to hear more from you soon in the future.
See you at the next Klan meeting.
Yeah, maybe you can be blocking a schoolhouse door or something. We can talk to you then.
So then came the punishment.
Finding no other viable alternatives, this court hereby orders that Roy S. Moore be removed from his position of Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama. This court is now adjourned.
Man, can the Senate run be far behind for that guy, though? You know that that's going to be his next. He's going to be like that guy, what's his name, Orville Faubus, or that guy because that was his whole platform, was keeping the Ten Commandments posted everywhere.
Moore ranted to his supporters outside the courtroom, and there are plenty of them.
They can't acknowledge God. We've got to stop judges who put their hands on the Bible and say, so help me God, and then go into court, and the first thing they do is deny the very creator God upon which this nation and our laws are founded. We have got to stop hypocrisy.
You know what that guy is? That guy is sort of to God as Noel Bush is to the rest of her family, you know? You know, God is up there, and they're bringing him the morning papers, and it's, yeah, another one of your nitwit supporters went and did something insane. If it was God, I mean, if I had deity-like powers, I would just be striking people down constantly. I'd just be smiting people. My hand would be hovering over the smite button just left and right on a daily basis.
Well, thank God we live in Portland, where D.D. Rabone will spill his guts on drug abuse and tattoos in a new documentary. This is going to be at the Clinton Street Theater Friday through Thursday, November 14th through
20th. What's it called?
Hey is D.D. Home.
Oh, hey is D.D. Home. It's a line from Chinese Rock. Yeah. D.D. Rabone, who was one of the founding members of this Ramones, bass player, wrote a lot of their most well-known songs, and then either left or was kicked out, kind of depending on who you listen to, continued to write and record for them for a long time, and then he overdosed a couple years ago, I guess now, right after they got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When is that, Friday?
Starts Friday.
All right. Excellent.
Former Green Party presidential candidate Ralph Nader calls Democrats chronic whiners for continuing to accuse him of spoiling the 2000 presidential election for Al Gore. They should realize that the retrospect on Florida concluded that Gore did win Florida. It was stolen from the Democrats, and they should concentrate on the thieves and blunderers in Florida, on the Green Party.
They should concentrate on the fact that the Democrats put up a candidate who was so unimpressive and so hollow that a bunch of their own voters defected and voted for Bush instead. What does it say that Al Gore, who's the sitting vice president, underneath the president who, you know, at least presided over, like, the eight greatest years of peace and prosperity in American history, can't get elected, didn't even carry his own state, couldn't even carry Tennessee. What does that say about Al? I mean, God love Al Gore, but he's just a bad politician and a poor candidate. And he's that now, and he was that then.
He was like a modern, well, he was a former, like John Kerry is now.
I mean, he's just the very definition of just an empty freaking suit, man. The guy, it was so impossible to get excited about him. I mean, you know, so we made fun of Joe Lieberman for being, you know, very bland and uninteresting. But it's not like Al Gore was really setting everybody, not like he was making us all hells a-popping over here. I mean, he didn't really set anybody's pulses a-quickening.
And one American is now being recognized as the world's oldest person. Because a 114-year-old Japanese woman assumed the title just a week ago, but she died today. So we get a new oldest person every week till another one dies. She was recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records, so I wonder if her name was even printed in this before she died. She was 116 years old. Now Guinness officials say the oldest person is Charlotte Beckner. Congratulations, Charlotte. She lives in North Lima, Ohio. She'll turn 114 on Sunday. She was born in 1889.
You know, and that's exactly where we're going to spend those. How old is she, 114?
Yeah,
114 years. Probably all of them lived in a place called Lima, Ohio, which is a bad place to be no matter what age you are. But especially when salt has become lethal to you, Lima's a bad place to spend your last golden years.
Well, let's see here. It's time for the Battle Watch.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
It's Operation Iron Eagle, or is it Iron Hammer, or Big Screwdriver. Anyway, we bombed Baghdad again this morning. The Baghdad Burbs So we probably blew up like an olive tree. No word on how many we've killed so far. Meanwhile, Commander John Abazani thinks there are as many as 30,000 bad guys trying to kill Americans in Iraq.
In all, I would say that the force of people actively armed and operating against us does not exceed 5,000. Now, people will say, well, that's a very small number. But when you understand that they're organized in cellular structure, that they have a brutal and determined cadre, that they know how to operate covertly, they have access to a lot of money and a lot of ammunition, you'll understand how dangerous they are.
They're in Iraq. They're not. No one in Iraq, they don't have planes. They don't even have cars. They don't have electrical outlets yet. I don't even, this idea that somehow they're posing a threat to, they're in Iraq. No one in Iraq is posing a danger to anyone, anywhere. They're not even posing a danger of being able to get up on time because they don't have alarm clocks, because we've blown up everything they own. There's just...
They weren't even dangerous to Jessica Lynch.
There's no, never mind.
Well, Condoleezza Rice held a press conference today because she had nothing else to do, hanging around the White House and such. She speaks about recent enemy atrocities. Everyone,
where
listen up.
These terrorists were threatening school children. Now, I can't believe that any Iraqi thinks that this is appropriate behavior. These are the same people who were torturing and maiming their fellow Iraqi citizens, and they're being exposed for who they are.
Yes, digging up from a hailstorm in Compton.
We're going to be talking to Jim Roop later on about this weird, bizarre storm that hit. I mean, because they got the fire for like a week and a half there. Everything was just burning to the ground.
Yep.
And then there's like 6 inches of hail all over parts of California. So we're going to talk to Jim Roop about that. So we're going to be watching for toads and seven seals to be broken.
It's, I was going to say, Clyde's going to have a heyday.
Seriously. No, it's, you know, he's... You know, the thing is, when you're Clyde, the thing you can always spot certain behavior patterns with Clyde, and that's where Clyde, on the one hand, Clyde has this one move he does where he pretends to be really upset about things, but you can tell inside that he's secretly joyous. He comes inside and goes, "Oh, that's it, we're all doomed now," but he does it with his barely suppressed giggle and grin. You know, like if you were to report to him that babies were exploding all over Southern California for no reason, what's happening? Toddlers' heads are exploding, Clyde. They're spattering toddler gray matter everywhere. Clyde, you go, "Well, I hate to say that I told you, but if you'd listened to my show with Dina DeCastro where I talked about the waves coming our way from Mercury, you'd know that toddler explosions were..." You know, and it's like he can barely cover up the fact that he's ecstatic about fiery destruction raining down in places. So
that's today's Battle Watch.
That'll be coming up later. It's your Battle Watch. We're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop later on. Also, today's top five list mistakes of all time. And your phone call. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, we got today's top five mistakes ever made on the top five list. Also got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be with us later on to talk about this bizarre, freaky hailstorm. Oh, and I got this. Have you seen this? Let's just talk about what a target market I am. Can we talk about how I am just everybody's demographic wet dream? And they don't even try to be subtle about it anymore. And they're just trying to wring every freaking dollar out of my wallet. It's the gene simitization of the entire world, you know? Just trying to get every single last freaking nickel I have. So Maxim magazine, I'm not even sure how the publishing sort of family tree goes anymore. But you know, there's Maxim and there's Stuff and there's Blender and there's FHM and there's Loaded and there's Slam and Jack and Ass and just a bunch of weird names with, you know, that are like put with a huge, you know, with a picture of Jessica Alba greased up on the front. You know, all those magazines, you know, and like the list, 22 biggest this and 14 hardest that. And I just buy all of these magazines, right? So now they're doing what they call, there's a marketing term you should be familiar with called line extension. Line extension is when you take a brand and then you put another word behind it to create an offshoot of that brand. Crystal Pepsi. Or there's, what is that, Pepsi One? Ian drinks that. Ian is the only person other than Cuba Gooding Jr. that willingly drinks Pepsi One, by the way.
I was a big fan of Pepsi One for a long time.
Pepsi, it tastes like some petrochemical concoction. You might as well drink lighter fluid. It's not like I'm a big Pepsi
fan. What's the catch with Pepsi One? Why is it different?
Because it's only got one calorie, because it's made out of plastic.
Then why is that different than Diet Pepsi? Just the one calorie?
I don't know, Matt.
Yeah, the one calorie, and it's a taste difference. It's supposed to taste better than just their normal
brand. Yeah, it's a different flavor of ass than the other one is. I mean, they all, you know, now with hint of ass, that ought to be their new slogan for Pepsi, because everything they do, everything they make fails, by the way. Everything that is not regular Pepsi, or I suppose Diet Pepsi, fails. Sarah's too young to remember this, but back in the day, there was, like, back in the mid-80s, man, there were, like, 9 different kinds of Pepsi that came out. There was Pepsi Free, there was Pepsi Light, I think it was called, that came in a little blue can with a
yellow... Are you going to be talking about Crystal Pepsi?
There's Crystal Pepsi, which lasted like a day and a half.
I totally remember that.
I'll get to Crystal Pepsi. I'll fix their little red wagon in a second. But Pepsi, I think it was Pepsi Light. It was a powder blue can with a yellow lemon slice on the top. And it was like a lemon Coke. But they didn't just call it Lemon Pepsi or Pepsi Splash or Pepsi Fizz or something that would have been interesting. They called it Pepsi Light, I think. Or Pepsi something. But it sounded like a diet drink. In other words, they completely mishandled and mismarketed what could have been an interesting... product. They did the same thing with Crystal Pepsi, because Crystal Pepsi was sort of marketed as this thing that looked different but tasted just like regular Pepsi, which of course it did not. It tasted like some weird unholy alliance between Pepsi and Sprite, which is something that people weren't really clamoring for. It was just a bizarre drink. So Pepsi's just been mishandling these opportunities for the longest time. What was my point? Line extension. So that's what line extension is. It's when they take an existing product and then they branch off. Here's another example. When they have Snickers and now there's the Snickers Cruncher. You know what I mean? Or they got the M&M's and then they'll do M&M, peanut butter.
Milky Way Midnight.
Milky Way Midnight. There you go. And so they're doing it with magazines now because there's Stuff Magazine and now there's Stuff Gamer, which is Stuff Magazine, but it's just an entire magazine about video games put out by the people at Stuff. And they've launched a new one now. It's Maxim Goes to the Movies. And it should just be called Maxim Dips Again into Rick's Back Pocket and Takes the Few Shekels that he had left over from the last time he went to the magazine store. I don't know what it is with magazines, but I'm helpless. I'm held in their sway. I'm held in the iron grip of the magazine publishing industry. And magazines are more expensive than gold. I mean, if you ever really thought about how expensive magazines are, I mean, these things are like $6.99 a pop. I bought that Playboy with Shannon Doherty. It was like $7-something. It's like $7. You know, if it's just for something for a guy to wax his carrot to. I mean, that does seem a little pricey, doesn't it? Anyway, so I got this Maxim Goes to the Movies. This is the longest setup to get to just really what is another setup. But the Maxim Goes to the Movies has got the Uma Thurman on the front cover. And anyway, so they have this, but they have an article. It's, 50-something-something. It's that they have this thing about the 50 funniest movie scenes of all time. Which I take much umbrage with, and we'll talk about that later on. See, wasn't that like a 10-minute setup for just a 10-second tease to a thing that we're not even going to talk about right now? So it makes us the best at what we do, my friends. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Well, rock singer and actress Courtney Love was arraigned in L.A. yesterday on charges of illegally possessing painkillers. Love offers an explanation to her behavior.
I pled not guilty because I didn't do anything, but the poo-poo had an ex-boyfriend and left. He has, some heroin addict, acoustic, whatever, pop star thing. And anyway, he left a pill in my office. Not mine. Pretty good.
Well done, Courtney. Sounding good. By the way, if you want to see the face that goes with that picture or that goes with that voice, go to rickemerson.com. Courtney's really taken some good care of herself lately. She's looking 9 kinds of healthy. You go to today's weblog. There's below the link to the Paris Hilton sex video. Not that I would ever post such a thing, but it's right there. There's a great picture of Courtney Love. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you about 10 seconds here. I'm going to let you bring up the picture of Courtney Love, and then we'll play that first sound clip again here in just a second.
So, you know, I went to that link with the Paris Hilton, that link don't have. Both of them are down.
Really? Well, they're probably, so I apologize. It's not like it's going to be difficult to find. So I apologize if the link that I put up isn't working. But, I probably she's getting flooded with traffic. It was working for me last night. I'm not going to lie. It's the first thing I did when I went home. I wasn't going to do it here at the office. See, that's really... See, I have this... That's the... No, I wasn't going to sit and download the Paris Hilton sex video at work. That's not going to fly really well with the human resources department. I mean, that's the sort of...
You don't even have a human resources department in the building. What are you worried about?
Oh, hey, good point.
And we've got a lot wider bandwidth here than you've got at home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the hell that is my life. I get all this bandwidth here, but it's like you can't just sit and look at porn at work, much as I'd like to.
Thank you for not doing it.
You can't really... No, I'm just saying you can't really do that. So I go home, and it's like you can do it at home, but then I've got the, you know... I've got like the 14.4 modem, you know, and I'm downloading, you know, kilobyte one of 7,500,000. So we'll talk more about the Paris Hilton sex video here in a second. But, so you got the, you go to rickemerson.com, bring out the picture of Courtney Love. Okay, that picture of Courtney Love up now. Play that quote again.
Well, it allows a lot of freedom as far as I don't have to worry.
That's completely not Courtney Love so much as it is Madonna right there. We're playing.
Not that there's not,
you know, a striking similarity between the two in a certain way.
I said not guilty because I didn't do anything, but the poo-poo head ex-boyfriend left. He has like some heroin addict, acoustic, whatever,
yeah,
pop star thing. And anyway, he left a pill in my house that's not mine, but it's his.
The funny part is that, of that entire soundbite, the only two things that you can hear and actually identify well are heroin addict and pill at my house.
I heard her say poo-poo head boyfriend.
Yeah, because those are phrases that Courtney Love has used many, many millions of times over the years, and so she's able to speak those phrases even when she's plowed out of her brain, which she obviously is. Do we have
one more? She's willing to plead guilty later to enter a drug diversion program and avoid jail time.
It's the same thing that I do, which is I go to my shrink.
Yeah, all right, so there you go. So There's Courtney Love, a proud and fit mother if I've ever heard one. It's good to know that she's got custody of her daughter again. That's going to work out well.
It takes a whole village to raise her child. Now we have a Winona Judd facing a drunk driving charge this morning. She was in Nashville. She was pulled over for speeding. When the officer approached her, he smelled alcohol, saw that the singer's eyes were bloodshot and watery.
Imagine how much alcohol it must take to get Winona Judd drunk, though. That's like trying to, it's like trying to get Lulu Hogg loaded.
Wow. Maybe she pulled it all nighter with Tanya Harding.
There's just no... I mean, she's a mountain of woman. I mean, Winona Judd is a whole lot of Rosie right there.
Now, she did consent to take a blood alcohol breathalyzer test, which, according to police, registered a 0.175. Twice a legal limit of 0.08, she was taken to night court, where her bond was set at $500, which is the typical amount for a first-time offender.
Okay.
She has the best damn mugshot, too. It's really funny.
Oh, she looks terrible.
Yeah.
She looks terrible. It's right up there with that... Do you remember that Yasmin Bleeth mugshot when she got popped for having cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
And she just looked like somebody had been beating her in the face with a lead pipe for 4 or 5 days. So, yeah, Winona Judd. Winona Judd, the only Winona Judd story I have is that I met her when I was in Salt Lake. She came to be interviewed at the radio station that was down the hall from us. And like all morbidly fat women, she had a little tiny yapping dog on a leash. I don't know why that is, but every time I've ever seen a really hugely obese woman, they've always got a little dog named Snuckles or something that's like at the end of a leash, and it's always some tiny little pound and a half schnauzer, you know what I mean? Rick, it was called Pepsi Light. It was light blue in a can with lemon on. Okay, there you go, Pepsi Light. But see, Pepsi Light, I don't know who they got working in their marketing department there, but it's a terrible name for a Pepsi drink because it makes it sound like it's just like a light beer or something. It makes it sound like it's a diet soda. Doesn't at all emphasize the lemony aspect of Pepsi Light. So, and then this guy said you're talking about Pepsi Twist. I don't even remember Pepsi Twist.
I do not either.
All no, right. Pepsi Twist is out now.
What is it?
I think basically the same thing. It's a light Pepsi with a lime. Lemon.
All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Top of the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for, what today is today? Thursday? Here's your Jackson Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
So the question is, was Michael Jackson off the wall when he told Rick Dees in L.A. that he wanted to adopt 7 children? According to a gossip columnist, Jackson recently went on Dees' morning show and said, "I want a big family." Despite his ongoing battle to squash rumors of child abuse, the singer tells Dees he wants, quote, "more and more children." And her gossip columnist, the Scoop Walls, goes on to say that Jackson told the morning host he'd eventually like to have more kids than his family of 9 brothers and sisters. Jackson's a father of 3, that's 5-year-old Prince Michael I, 4-year-old Paris, and an infant son, Prince Michael II, that the baby he dangled from the hotel balcony in November. And the pop star's recent revelations about adopting children, Jackson's rep told the Scoop, quote, "It's not that he has any specific strategy or is in touch with adoption agencies, but he did say this is because of his love for children."
Imagine the parent that would give their child up for adoption to Michael Jackson. And he has this whole, I mean, this is his whole deal, right? That every couple, I mean, it's kind of, it seems to me like it's a weird version of the guys trading their wives in for a younger model every 10 years or so. Because isn't that the deal, that every time he gets a kid that, you know, is about 3 or 4 years old, suddenly starts to be a little too old for him, and he's got to get a new one? Because he had, and I've lost track of even what women gave birth to all these children. I can't even tell which women popped out which kids for him. But it's like that he has a kid, and then a couple years later, the kid is too old, and so he has another one, and then he has another one. And they always, and those kids that were used to hang out at Neverland Ranch, it's like when they would get to be, I don't know, it's like Menudo or something. They get to be like 12 years old, and he would trade them out, and suddenly bring in a whole pack of 7-year-olds to hang out with him or something. So, God only knows. The saddest thing to me about Michael Jackson, I mean, I've kind of long since gotten past the business of being sad for Michael Jackson himself, but the thing that annoys me the most and that kind of bothers me the most about Michael Jackson is that there's just so much money involved there that we're never going to find out the real deal. I mean, there's never going to be a true and complete tell-all about that guy because there's too many people that have too much money to lose. It's like Elvis, you know. Elvis been dead like 30 years or something, and we've still never gotten, you know, the full inside scoop of what was going on with that guy because there's just too many money that are suckling at the teat of the king, you know what I mean? So there's never going to be a full revelation of what's going on in that guy's life because you talk about just the absolute character study of the weird internal rotting out of the American dream. I mean, it's Michael Jackson. So there you go. So there's your Jackson watch for Thursday. All right, we got more on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I want to give a shout out to my man Ryan Lynn. Lynn Luthier. I don't even know what to do. Apparently, Ryan has two last names, I think. I don't know. I want to give a shout out to Ryan at Eastside Guitar Repair. Ran into that guy last night. I was at that place where they do that thing. There's some place. I'm so torn. I don't even necessarily want to give them a plug. There's this place where they make these like big ass hamburgers that are just incredibly satisfying and wonderful. But then the place has this whole Grateful Dead motif going on. You know what I'm talking about? It's on Hawthorne somewhere. It's on Hawthorne on like 20th. You walk inside, and in my own defense, I didn't know it was a Grateful Dead themed place the first time I went there. I go inside, you know, hamburger. I'm shoving the hamburger into my face, and then as I'm finishing off my fries and my iced tea, I look around and you start to see that weird zigzag red and blue skull decal everywhere, and you say, you know, hang on a minute, I'm in a place festooned with Grateful Dead paraphernalia. And it kind of only occurs to you, but it was like, it was too late, because I'd already had the hamburger, and so I couldn't very well back out of it, so it's like they'd already sucked me in with the food. I was out, but they pulled me back in.
Are you talking about when we went out to lunch that one day?
Because it's the Grateful Dead place, right?
It was your hell, I remember. Didn't you put in, like, $5 in the jukebox and just play Black Sabbath over
and
over?
Yeah, yeah, because the jukebox is, like, hundreds of Grateful Dead CDs, and then there's, like, a Slayer album or something. And so I just, you know, it's just anything but Grateful Dead. And what I'll do is, let me just tell you this. Here's how deep my issues run. I'll go to a restaurant, and I'll put, like, a 20 in the jukebox, and then just pick everything I want to listen to, knowing that for hours after I'm gone, people are subjected to my music taste and my music taste alone. I've been known, actually. Let me just tell you this. I've been known. Remember when That Thing You Do came out? And That Thing You Do had this whole soundtrack, and it had, you know, the title song. And then it had that song, Lovin' You Lots and Lots, from the title sequence by the Norm Wooster Singers. Anybody know that? One that plays over the opening credits. You know, you got me all tied up in knots, and I'm loving it.
It sounds like a real song, and you think it came from that.
It sounds like weird, like Jordan Air song or something. Anyway, and so I would go in, and I would just put like $10 worth of Loving You Lots and Lots in the jukebox right before, and just leave.
Same song over and
Seriously.
Over.
Seriously. You know, and then I'd drive by later and peer in the window to see if everybody had a real vexed expression on their face inside.
You can't do that on the new digital jukeboxes, though. I've had
vicious.
My song skipped.
Yeah, I know. Well, I tried to put in some Otis Redding the other day, and it, like, it was Otis Redding and, you know, Mr. Pitiful. And then it came up, and it was like some Jewel song or something. So that's always unfortunate. And then the weird part is I'd put in, like, 9 Otis Redding songs, so you knew it was going to be 9 Jewel songs. So I just left. I didn't want to be subjected to that. Anyway, so the point is I was there, and I met this guy, Ryan, from Eastside Guitar, who's a listener. Shoot a little pool. Sorry if you're a deadhead. It's, you know, I don't hold it against you. But they apparently do repair of guitars and all fretted instruments. So there you go. Ryan, Eastside Guitar. So thanks for listening there. Let's see. What do we got here? This is Jeff. He's a full-time listener on a cell phone. What's up, brother?
1985, Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox, in the cafe, asks for a Pepsi Free.
And
that's how far back Pepsi Free goes.
And the guy, if you want a Pepsi, you're going to pay for it.
There you go. Well, F. Matt with Life Preserver.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
I can't give you a tab until you order something. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, looks like CDs will be history in 5 years. They will be superseded by a new generation of fingertip-sized memory tabs with no moving parts. This is the world of tomorrow.
There'll be moving sidewalks and flying cars in the world of tomorrow.
Scientists say each paper-thin device could store more than a gigabyte of information equivalent to 1,000 high-quality images in 1 cubic centimeter of space. Think about that, kid.
There'll be people movers and fantastic atomic transporters to Mars.
Experts have developed the technology by melding together organic and inorganic material in a unique way.
It's our very own. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just read these things.
What are you, Criswell?
Could be somebody's 30th birthday, for all I know.
Okay.
They say it could be used to produce a single-use memory card that permanently stores data and is faster and easier to operate than a CD.
They're called computers. Those exist.
Yeah, but the reason that that will never happen is because the record industry can't make enough money off selling their overpriced packaged CDs.
No, the record industry's hosed. The record industry is so hosed, you can't even believe. The record industry is man, they're lining up for a serious downsizing. Record company, and it's already happening, man. The record company it's like heads down for the big Bosch gangbang with those guys. They're all... I'm not saying they're going to go away. The record company's always going to exist, but you know what? The record company's going to have to go through the same thing that Hustler and Playboy and Penthouse are going through right now. Everybody thought, because what did people say? But no, you can never go wrong with porn. Porn will sell. Sex will sell forever. You can go ask Bob Guccione about that. A guy had to resign from Penthouse this week because those guys are just bleeding money. They're just hemorrhaging green. So the record industry will always exist, but they're going to go through a serious whittling back phase. I mean, I'll tell you, I still buy CDs. I buy CDs not only used at the CD Game Exchange, 5 locations, 1 near you. I also buy new stuff, also at CD Game Exchange, 5 locations, 1 near you. But, I mean, I get stuff offline, too, but, I mean, it's like, there will always be a place, I think, for records and CDs. If, you know, if for nothing else, you know, there's collectors, there's DJs, there's, you know, there's all that stuff. And plus, you know, you can't really, and maybe this is a generational thing, but there is, so maybe the Gen Y kids don't feel this way, but there is something to be said. You buy it. Like, I got the new Kid Rock yesterday. Yeah. Got the new Kid Rock holding it right here in my hand. There's something to be said. You open it up. You take out. Listen to this. Okay, here's the open of the CD. You take it out, and then you do this. You shuffle right there. You got the liner notes there. You hear that? You got the little lyric sheet inside. You open it. You read the thank yous. You look at the pictures of the guy and the band. You're reading along with the song. You know, I mean, that stuff, it sounds cheesy and dorky, but, I mean, it's part of the experience. It's part of the entire package. It's more than just... You know, the music. You know, all that stuff. And all that weird Lester Bangs stuff. And they're staring at the cover and the label trying to figure out what it means and where it was photographed. I mean, you can't get that from an MP3. God, I'm just turning into my dad. All right. Anyway, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Coming up later on, we got a double Britney watch headed your way. We'll play some of the new Kid Rock, by the way. We got to How Chicks Think and today's Top 5. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. The girls just saw shocking at the other end of the barn. Have a trick of some no-name chump when they know that I'm the star. So I got up and strolled over to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy, why are you so
fly. It's that funky Comedina.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.